And while we are turning, I'm going to ask that we look to the Lord in prayer. May we hear your voice, Lord, as we wait on thee. Quiet our hearts to listen intentively, and we shall be careful to give you the praise, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen. This is a great chapter. Paul wrote the book of Romans to the Christians at Rome, and he has a message for each and every one of us, as found in the words of verse 37. Paul says, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Without doubt, I believe the Apostle Paul is the greatest missionary in the history of the church, other than Jesus Christ himself. And because of that, that's why I like to preach upon him. The man Paul, the ministry of Paul, and the message of Paul. He walked more miles. He witnessed to more people. He wrote more epistles. And he worked more diligently than any other New Testament Christian in the first century. He literally turned the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Most of us don't realize that Paul could have been a professor at the University of Tarsus. But he turned it down in order that he might be a missionary of the cross, sharing the greatest piece of news ever to fall upon human ear. Adventuring into unknown territory, Paul went into towns, he went into synagogues, he went into cities, preaching a message not only to the meaning of life, but to the mastery of living. If Paul were behind the pulpit this morning, he would try to get across to each and every one of us that it's possible for you and I as Christians to live a victorious Christian life. You can be a conquering Christian. You don't have to go down to defeat. I don't and you don't. Or you could be here in the sanctuary and you have never received Christ to be your Savior. You might be a good living, respectable person, but that's not enough to get you into heaven. The Bible says there's only one way. We need to be forgiven. We need to be born again into God's family. But however we are this morning, as we come to church, saved or sinner, it's possible to live the victorious Christian life. And he was totally persuaded that no matter whatever he was called upon to go through, victory belonged to him. Now I ask you, have you experienced this victory in your life? Victory no matter what the circumstances that you might be going through at this very moment? Such victory can be your daily experience. Paul tells us that in the words of the text. You don't have to go down to defeat. You and I can be victorious. Now, there's nothing greater in all of doing sermons and in the art of homiletics is just staying in one verse and get your points. And I want you to note in this verse, we find three things that stand out. The magnitude of our victory in Christ, the measure of our victory in Christ, and the means of our victory in Christ. Think to begin with what I'm going to call the magnitude of our victory in Christ. Notice the words found there in verse 37. Nay, in all these things. Now, in thinking of the magnitude of our victory, I want you to note two important points under this point. First of all, there is something in the verse before us and in the surrounding verses that you and I cannot deny. Get that word down. It's a key word. We cannot deny. Notice again Paul's words in verse 37. Nay, in all these things. And then Paul makes a list in verse 35 of seven things that we as believers might experience in this world as we pass through it. And no one is exempt. Notice what he says. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? I like the rendering of Phillips at this point. He puts it this way, can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble, pain, or persecution, can lack of clothes and food, danger to life and limb, the threat or force of arms? So there you have the things that Paul has delineated that each and every one of us can't deny. Pain. You might be going through that this morning. Trouble. Sickness. Persecution. Famine. Starvation. Lack of clothes. War. And notice, even death itself. Now, Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said over there in John 16, verse 33, in the world you shall have tribulation. And this is what he was talking about. All of those things that I've just announced. And then he went on to say, you are in the world. And we can't deny that. You would be a fool not to realize there is sickness. There are some people here this morning that have just gotten out of a hospital bed. There are others who have gone through the sadness of losing a loved one. There are some that are working on the assembly line and they're being persecuted for their faith in Christ. And it's real. Every person in the audience is going through one or more of these problems. Hospitals, left alone, loneliness, fear, discouragement, disappointment, whatever it might be. I just want to get across to you this morning that according to the Apostle Paul, he says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And there is a truth here that we must never forget. Believers, you and I are in a dual existence. On the one hand, we are in Christ, which we are. And on the other hand, we are in the world, which we are. And there's a conflict. And living in this world exerts an unfriendly pressure upon us. Yes, we have peace, but it is peace in the midst of all of the problems of life. And you ask yourself, can I get through it? And can I get victory over it? Maybe some could be here this morning and say, Pastor Reg, I'm ready to throw in the towel. It's too much for me. I can't go it alone. Well, I just want to assure you, you don't have to go it alone. But in the meantime, we need to realize that when Jesus speaks of the world, he means the world system. And we need to realize that that is the enemy of God. And such a system opposes both the message and the ministry of Jesus. Do you realize this morning that a war is raging? Maybe not between America and some other country, but there's a war raging in your life between good and evil, God and Satan. And we'll never know victory until, first of all, we realize that we're in a battle. Is it any wonder that the Apostle Paul says over there in Ephesians chapter 6, notice he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then later on there in verse 13, he says, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, he was telling us it's even going to be difficult during these last days to stand up for Christ. And some of you today know what I'm talking about. You're going through real persecution for the cause of Christ. And this struggle is not physical, necessarily. It's a spiritual warfare. We are in a battle. And this is the tragic thing, that there are thousands of Christians in this area and across the country who they don't realize that there's a war going on. How many of us would send a young man representing our country to a foreign field without giving him the best weapons to use and the best armor to put on? We would be foolish to do that. And yet how many Christians I know, they go out in the morning to meet the world and they aren't prepared. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't put on the armor. Is it any wonder that we go down to defeat? Listen, my dear friend, the first step in victory is to realize that we have an enemy that wants to destroy us. And he wants to defeat you. And he's going to do everything in his power to keep you from reading your Bible, coming to church, having a productive prayer life, because those are the weapons that God gives us in order that we might be victorious. We are in the midst of a battle with Satan, who wants to destroy each and every one of us. So we must make preparation. But I want you to realize here, Paul says, there is something here we cannot deny. And you need to realize these things are real. But here's the wonderful point, and Paul brings it out. The very things that we do not deny, now get this, I'm going to throw another D at you, are the very things that need not defeat us. You got a hold of that? Grasp it. Grip it. Fear. Death. Sickness. Pain. Persecution. They're real. We don't deny them. But Paul comes along and he says, they need not defeat us. Notice again the words there in verse 37. Nay, in. And we are in them. All these things, we are more than conquerors. Or I like the words of Jesus when he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that's the point. Jesus is telling us to take heart, to be courageous. Don't throw in the towel. Cheer up. He has won the victory over Satan for us and over the world. And because he has won, we are in Christ, and that means that we can win. Now, that's a theological truth that Paul writes about in Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. Now, Paul goes on to state that though we are in the midst of all of these things, notice now, verse 39, nothing shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me say it again so you can put it down in your notes if you're taking notes or in your memory. The very things that we do not deny are the very things that need not defeat us. The magnitude of our victory, according to this first century Christian, is in all of these things. Did you come to church this morning and you happen to be down, discouraged, defeated? Or maybe there's some sickness or disease that's put its grip upon you? Look, I've gone into the doctor's office many times. And I want you and I to realize, and I need constantly to remind myself, that no matter what the prognosis, you are no different the way that you went in and the way that you came out, because God is still in control. We need to realize that. He's on the throne. Nothing can happen to you and nothing can happen to me without God's permission. We are constantly in His care. The Bible says His eye is always watching over us. He knows every move that we make. He's more concerned about us than we are about ourselves. Some years ago, I wrote a little booklet entitled, With Christ in Your Suffering and With Christ in Your Sorrow. As a matter of fact, Shirley, I sent you one. I hope you read it. And it was a message for people who are facing death and going through bereavement. And that little booklet has had a wonderful ministry across this country and throughout the world. Doctors are still using it and sending for it. In that little book, I tell and give an illustration of a man, a saintly man of God, a minister by the name of F.B. Meyer. And Paul just mentions here about death. And death is the last enemy that each and every one of us are going to have to face. And Paul reminds us that death has been defeated because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And F.B. Meyer, the beloved Bible teacher, wrote to a friend, and he said, and I quote, he said, "I have just heard, to my surprise, that I have only a few days to live. It may be that before this reaches you, I shall have entered the palace. Don't trouble to write. With much love, F.B. Meyer." And as one British editor stated in commenting on that letter, he said, "Was ever the king of terror dismissed with greater casualness than in those words? It was the conquering spirit of a Christian soul." And so it was. A believer facing death, not as a victim, but as a victor. And that's what Paul is talking about here in the text. Now, I don't see any of us this morning, as far as I know, that we're immediately, instantly facing death. That's the ultimate. If F.B. Meyer can look death in the face and gain the victory, in heaven's name, what can you and I do with lesser things to face when we throw it back on Christ, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? That's the message that Paul is trying to get across. A message to the mastery of living and the magnitude of our victory. Now, I might not have listed something in that list. Whatever it is, give it to God. It comes under the umbrella of the magnitude, the scope, and you can claim victory in Jesus Christ. Now, that's the magnitude of our victory in Christ. Now, let's go on to a second thought and compare that with the measure of our victory and our conquest. Now, I want you to notice again the words found in verse 37 there in your Bible. "Nay, in all these things, what? We are more than conquerors." Now, let's stop there. We are more than conquerors. Now, Phillips, plus the New Living Translation, really gets the grip on what Paul is talking about when he says we win an overwhelming victory. And the word overwhelming is used both in the Phillips and the New Living Translation. I want you to notice here that Paul is not speaking just about mere victory or merely winning a battle. I want you to realize that he makes use of a Greek word, and it's used only here, and it speaks of the highest form of victory. It's a strong, emphatic, expressed word used with great force, meaning above. It's victory above and beyond. It's a most glorious victory. It's victory above and beyond. It's a most glorious victory. It could be a supreme victory. It means to be exceedingly triumphant. And you know what Paul is talking about? To be exceedingly triumphant. It's one thing just to have victory. He's not talking about that. He's talking about an overwhelming smashing of the enemy. And some of you have done that. It means to gain a decisive victory. It is one thing to gain a victory over the foe, whatever it might be. But it's another thing to be more than a conqueror, and that is to gain an advantage out of the victory itself. Not only that, it means we weaken the enemy who tries to defeat us, and we learn something out of the conquest. What good is it to go in the hospital, go through some problem, and come out, and it never changes us? Or to go through some experience? Oh, you might get the victory, but if it's not going to do something for you, what good is it? I think that's what Martin Luther, the great reformer, had in mind when he said, through these sufferings, the saints come out not only unhurt, but with the precious advantage of a firmer faith and more burning love. There's nothing so empty and so distressing as a normal victory. Wellington at Waterloo said the saddest thing next to a great defeat is a great victory if it doesn't do something for the victor. Oh, my dear friend, God doesn't put you through that suffering and that sorrow and that problem without a reason behind it. Let me explain. We should use the adversity that we're going through, which is employed by Satan, and there's no question about it. God didn't bring. He's not the author of sorrow. When God created man, he desired for man to live forever. God didn't walk out in man. Man walked out in God, and he's still doing the same today. Some of you here in this sanctuary this morning, maybe today, past week, sometime in your life, you just walked out on God. You threw in the towel. You'll find him right where you left him. The adversity that God allows to come into your life is for our good and for his glory. When we go through trials and tribulation, we should learn patience. It's hard to do, but there's a learning lesson in disease and despair. Maybe you're persecuted today on the job, and you wonder why God is putting you through that. Maybe it is to love the persecuted, the person who's persecuting you. It's pretty difficult. Jesus is the example. When we go through difficult times with little money for the necessities of life, it's during those times that we learn really to trust the Lord. Look, I've been there. I was on that faith line for 30 years. And God always met our needs. And he'll meet yours. This is what Paul means by being more than a conqueror. We gain something and we learn something from what we're going through. Now, it's interesting that Paul doesn't say, and I know we can sing the song when we all get to heaven, but I just want to tell you this morning, theologically, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to be a victorious Christian. Because Paul puts it in the present tense, and notice right there in your Bible, he says that we shall be. He doesn't say that we shall be more than conquerors. Notice, he says we are. Right at this present moment, we are more than conquerors. At this very moment, at this present time, we can be a conquering Christian, victorious. Maybe that's the reason that some of us have not experienced and encountered the victory in Christ. We think it's somewhere down the road, way off into eternity. And Paul comes along in the text this morning and he says, no, 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 my friend. If you want to be the Christian wife that God wants you to be, if you want to be the Christian husband that God would have you to be, if you want to be the church member that God expects you to be, if you ought to be the Christian living in the world, you can be. And that's what Paul had in mind when he said, I can do all things through Christ. If you happen to be here today living a defeated Christian life, the fault comes back on you and back on me. Because God has given us the power by which we can experience that very thing. It's for you today. And I encourage you to claim it by faith and live in the reality of it. And what a difference it's going to make in your life. Paul did this very thing. There was a time in his life, think of it, the great apostle Paul, when he himself did not experience the victory that he's talking about here in Romans chapter 8. He was a Christian too. He was a Christian with a conflict, like you and I have every day. Listen to the cry of his heart there in chapter 7, verse 24. He says, maybe you feel like this. Oh, wretched man that I am. There have been times when I have felt like that. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, this body of sin hung on Paul like a corpse, which he could not escape. He states earlier, my own behavior baffles me, for I find myself not doing what I really want to do. Is that how you are? We want to do it, but we don't do it. That's Paul. But doing that which I really don't want to do. Now, there you have a picture of a Christian. And he was in a battle. He was in a conflict. And that's where we all find ourselves this morning, there in verse 37. And then comes the discovery of a lifetime. And what a discovery. And God is waiting for us, some of us on this Sunday, to make that discovery. It's an amazing discovery. It's not you at the center that's going to get the victory. It's Christ at the controls. It's not you turning over a new leaf or reformation. It's not you on the throne. Or it's not you making all of these positive remarks. Well, I'm going to try to do better. You can't do it. And God wants you and I to realize that. And then Paul cries out, and what a discovery there in chapter 7, verse 25. He says, I thank God there is a way out. There's a way out. How? Through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Remember the words over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, that great resurrection chapter. But thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul experienced long ago on this Sunday in September of 2010, you and I can experience today. An overwhelming, smashing defeat of the enemy. And that leads me to my final thought. Having looked at the magnitude of our victory and the measure of our victory, now here's where you got to claim it. I want you to notice the means of our victory. Now notice what Paul says in verse 37. Through him who loved us. Phillips renders it, through him who has proved his love for us. And it's all through Christ. You know, one day, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess to Jesus Christ that he's Lord. And not only that he's Lord, that every one of us one day are going to bow humbly before him and just thank him for all that he's given to us, and especially the power to be victorious Christians. He's not going to leave us alone. Now, that calls for two things. First of all, he gives us victory by his assistance. Get that down. I want you to realize that Christ does not so much conquer for us as we conquer through him. And that's what Paul had in mind when he said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. That's what he meant. It is our strength, but it is in his strength that we do it. It is our war, but it is his weapons that we get the victory. You understand what I'm trying to get across? We win the victory not through our strength or our brilliance or our ingenuity, but by Christ alone through the empowering of the Holy Spirit. That's how you do it. I've had Christians come to churches and they say, well, you talk about it. Well, what's the way of victory? Well, let's put the cookies on the lower shelf. Victory is through Christ and Christ alone. And it's by faith. And the same Christ who saved you is the same Christ who wants to sustain you and me. And how does he do it? How is that accomplished? Through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Okay, by his assistance. Now, this assistance by Christ is good, but it's not enough. And then finally, by our association with him. You know, the doctrine of the indwelling Christ living within us is a wonderful study in Romans chapter 6. When Christ died, we died. He died for sin, we died to sin. And we have been resurrected to newness of life in Jesus Christ. And his life and his death and his resurrection, we have been united together. So we are associated. Christ is in God, and God is in Christ. And Christ is in us. And we are his ministers reconciling the world together. Now, in our life with Christ, we have a life that is triumphant. And in our life with Christ, we have a love that is trustworthy. And you can count upon it. The conquering Christian. And it can happen to you this morning. Look, aren't you fed up with just living an ordinary, non-productive, sterile, ineffective Christianity? Look, I've been here long enough. I know my own heart, but I know some of you. There's frustration. There's fears. We try to do everything in our own strength. I've been in enough deacons' meetings and business meetings. And somehow we just can't leave it to the Lord. And realize he's the head of the church and he's sovereign. Is it any wonder that we get frustrated and get all tangled up? And sometimes I have the feeling the Lord is saying, just look, sit back, take a deep breath. It's my work. And I'm going to carry it on. And he does. The conquering Christian. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, if there's someone here this morning who has not experienced that victory, I pray that in these waiting moments that you might speak. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, is there someone here this morning who says, Pastor Reg, I need Jesus to be my Savior. If I were to die today, I don't know where I would go. Well, I know where you would go. You certainly wouldn't go to heaven. You need Christ to be your Savior. If you would like to receive him this morning, this is all I'm asking you to do. Something that I did many years ago. Just put up your hand. And say by that uplifted hand to God, God, I want you to come into my life and save me and transform me and make me a Christian. If that's your prayer right now, would you put it up? Anyone? Okay. Now, I wonder if there's any Christians here this morning and you've been having a real battle. And this morning you've heard the message of victory. And you say, Pastor Reg, I'm going to claim it. It's mine for the taking. Would you put your hand up and let the Lord see you? See that hand? See that hand? Anyone else? See that hand? God bless you, young person. See that hand? Anyone else? Come on, stop playing with God. Put your hand right up, mean business with him. Anyone else before we close? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, perchance if there's someone who does not have that peace, I pray that you would give them no rest until they come to rest in thee, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.